The following is a Poppy Chulo Radio original program.
Let's go!
Get up close and personal with some of your favorite male porn stars on One-on-One with Poppy Chulo. Created by Poppy Chulo, One-on-One showcases exclusive interviews with the adult industry's most popular male performers. Here's your host, Poppy Chulo.
Welcome to One-on-One with Poppy Chulo. Today is Thursday, April 4th, 2024. Listeners, please welcome adult content creator on the rise, Darren Blaze. Welcome to the show.
Hey, appreciate you. Hello to everybody out there listening. I'm excited to be on and just have a great interview.
Very nice. I'm glad to have you on as well. We've been chatting about this for a moment, and I'm glad that we are getting the chance to do this. You've been pumping out some really great content, so I'm looking forward to picking your brain about that and hopefully sharing your story, you know, with not only your fans, but hopefully some new people that are discovering you.
Thank you so much. You know, it's always the goal to, you know, keep reaching out to people and, you know, getting more and more fans. So, yeah, I appreciate you.
You're welcome. All right. So typically I like to start off these one-on-one interviews by getting some unique stats out the way. So first up, what's your height and weight?
Oh man, you put me on the spot. Okay. So, I am 5'8", 165 pounds, you know, give or take. And what else did you have for me? It was height and weight.
Yes. What's your ethnic background?
African-American. A lot of times people ask me, are you mixed? A lot of times people say I've been biracial or have Hispanic in me. As far as I know, no, but I would like to do a, a DNA or a genealogy report one of these days, just to kind of, you know, get some insight, because I get it all the time.
What's your zodiac sign?
So I'm a Gemini. Funny story about that, you know, when I talk to girls in dating world, they're always like, ooh, Gemini, you know, two personalities. I don't know. So it's, you know, it's always just a funny background with that when I mention that.
And how old are you?
30. Well, you know, I'll be 32. It's coming up June. Yeah. I'm in the big 30s now. So 32. And yeah, I'm getting up there.
Well, first off, I'm a Gemini as well, so I rebuke all the Gemini blasphemy.
Hey, Gemini gang. Hey, we got to stick up for each other.
Exactly. But, I mean, it is kind of true with the double personalities, but it makes it spicier.
Of course. I mean, everybody has it. I guess apparently just Geminis are notoriously or it's more apparent. So I'm like, okay, well, you know, I'll take the bitter with the sweet.
There you go. All right, so let's get to know a little bit about the man behind the performer. Who is Darren Blaze?
Oh, man, good question, man. You ask people that, you know, a lot of people don't even know themselves, so I like that question. A little bit about me, Texas native, from the San Antonio area, former military child, and then I was in the military myself, 8 years in the Army, so, you know, traveled a little bit of everywhere, overseas, across the U.S., and then I, not retired, but, you know, my contract ended, and I kind of ended up making the switch to the adult world, so that's just kind of a baseline introduction about me, or the adult content world, rather, I should say that, not the adult world, but the content world.
Yes.
Once I was able to.
What was life like growing up for you? What was young Darren Blaze like?
Oh, man, you're taking me back. Young me. Like I said, grew up in San Antonio. When I was younger, a very hyper, energetic kid. Little known fact is that I actually was in special education. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that, but I always tell people, and they're kind of surprised. Maybe it's overly hyper, or maybe some form of ADHD. Luckily, I was able to transition from that and they kind of put me back with the general population of the kids. But yeah, I was very, I was a lot more hyper in those days and a lot more, I guess, on edge. But I wasn't too much of a crazy kid. Loved sports. Loved to talk. I was a little bit of a class clown. And then, like I said, my mother, she married a military man. So we traveled a lot. Germany, went to Colorado, Oklahoma. So it was really cool seeing some different parts of the world at a young age like that. And the only downside, you know, not to get too, what is it called, dreary, or I'm looking for the verb, the right word, or to the present of viewers here. You know, my mom, her ex-husband was a little bit of an alcoholic. So that was just kind of a unique upbringing. Very, very different. But, you know, I got through it and I was able to kind of flourish as an adult. So, you know, everything worked out.
Well, let's talk about your adult life. What was going on in your life prior to entering the adult industry?
I joined the military at 18. So I spent a good chunk of my, I guess, what do you call that, late teens, or from 18 to my late 20s in the military. So running missions, deploying, you know, nothing too crazy, but I mean, to the average person, it's probably like, oh, it's, you know, somewhat unique. But yeah, I did dabble a little bit lifestyle wise, just on a simpler scale. But yeah, that was pretty much my life. I was in Missouri, kind of near Lake of the Ozarks, kind of like the TV show. I was about an hour away in a small town called Waynesville / St. Roberts. Then I ended up going to upstate New York, and that was very different from what you expect, because I was near the Canadian border, like about an hour away from Syracuse. So you get to New York and you're thinking like, oh, I'm being the bright lights, the city. And it was just nothing like that. It was very rural, a lot of farmland, very cold, extremely cold. I'm talking 6 feet of snow at any given time. Then I kind of closed out my military career and went back to Texas. Oh, a key part that I forgot to mention, I was married. So that was I was married to my high school sweetheart. That was a big key part that I kind of glossed over there.
Well, you mentioned the lifestyle, and I feel like for a lot of people out there that are listening, you know, they have all these sort of preconceived notions, they have all these misconceptions, they have all these assumptions about the lifestyle. And some people might not even understand what being in the lifestyle means. So can you share with the listeners what being in the lifestyle means to you and how exactly you got into the lifestyle?
Okay, so I'm going to start that second question first. How did I get into the lifestyle? So, like I said, I was married. I got married at 19. One weekend, I was at Germany. I was partying. I was visiting my parents at the time. And, you know, a lot of those clubs in Germany, they stay open to like 6 a.m. So I'm partying, having a good time, dancing. Then next week, I'm getting married. And I'm just like, man, what the hell did I just do? So, you know, as a young adult, young man, you're still kind of sexually explorative. You know, you still kind of have that primal urge about you. So she was the only woman that I'd ever been with, you know. And when I joined the military, you're traveling, you go in these places. There's a lot of temptation, whether you're on the road, your coworkers are flirting with you, or you're going to these towns where, you know, the military is like the main centric of that town. So they know that you're military. The girls are trying to talk to you. They're trying to get out of these towns. So how did that lead into the lifestyle? I had a friend of mine. You know, you always got that one friend who's always getting into some trouble or some debauchery, or you could be that friend. And he ended up telling me about Craigslist at the time. And I was like, man, what is Craigslist? I don't really understand what that is. He was like, hey, man, just go in there. You know, they got ads and people are looking for sex, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, cool. So anyways, I dabbled on there. I didn't really know what I was doing. Didn't understand like the phrases, because they, you know, broken down to subsections. You got W for M, which is women for men. We have men a woman for men, etc. And I think I clicked on an ad. You know, didn't really understand the full scale of it. And I'm thinking I'm going to go meet a woman. I'm like, all right, cool. You know, and mind you, this is Missouri. Like, this is, but it's country Missouri. There's, you know, not Tarraga, Missouri. I enjoy the state, but there's a portion of Missouri outside the military base. I was at a base called Fort Leonard. So they tell you, they say, you know, hey, like, never go out the West Gate. You guys got no business out there. So it's called Roby. That's Roby, Missouri. And if you go out this gate, it's kind of, it's like going in a time machine. I mean, they got like, if you ever watch one of those old movies in the 60s, and they still pump the gas for you. You see those old Chevrolet pickup trucks, nothing but trees. And, you know, it's clearly not a place for the black man that should be in. So go out there, I meet this woman. I'm thinking we're just going to hook up and hang out. And she says, hey, you know, my husband's here. I hope you're okay with that. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, shit, you know, that's different. You know, this is not what I signed up for, you know what I mean? But, you know, at that point, I had drove maybe like 40 minutes, you know, to go see this lady. She's an older white lady. You know, and then my wife, you know, at the time, it's pretty bad, but she's sleeping in bed. I'm just like, ugh. You know, I came this far. You know, okay, you know, fuck it, let's just go and see where it goes. So, long story short, she starts like feeding me drinks. They got a pool table. We start playing pool. And then she starts kind of making her move on me. She starts grabbing me, and, you know. So, one thing led to another, and I end up having sex. And then her husband kind of comes in and he joins, you know. At the time, that was kind of very weird for me. I didn't know how to feel about it, you know, because. You know, his penis was close to mine. There was a lot of close contact. And I was like, okay, that was very different. You know what I mean? But I knew that I enjoyed it. I just didn't know how to rationalize it in my brain. So, yeah, that was my initial introduction to the lifestyle.
And how would you describe just the lifestyle in general, you know, for someone out there that, you know, doesn't really know what it is? I mean, clearly you kind of described it in, you know, just discussing your first experience, but in your terms, like, how do you define you being in the lifestyle and what it means?
So the lifestyle, you know, and this is through a lot of trial and error. There was plenty of time when things didn't go well, or I had to kind of learn, or okay, what not to do, or understanding. It's a little bit of psychology, because you have to kind of understand people. But long story short, the lifestyle, I would say it's a community of sexually explorative people who just have different kinks or different sexual needs. And it usually just involves a couple and a third party, you know, whether that's a male, a female, trans, whatever that, you know, floats your boat, you know, whatever dynamic that you're looking for. And then just along that, you know, like I said, that can be two guys and a girl, two guys, another guy, a woman and a man, and another couple. So it's just kind of broken down like that. From there, you know, from my perspective as a single male, whether they, you know, some people call me bull, BBC, I am just trying to fit in whatever my role is into that particular couple or woman. Primarily, I play with couples. I just find it easier. It's hard to find a single woman in the lifestyle who's just like, hey, you know, I would say out of 10 years, maybe it's happened three times where she was like, hey, I'm a swinger lifestyle. You know, and you can kind of use those terms interchangeably in my eyes, swinger lifestyle. But yeah, it's usually a couple. So how can I kind of fit in their world and their needs, you know, and what's my role in that kind of dynamic? That's what I would kind of say it is.
In total, how long have you been involved in the lifestyle?
Man, I really want to say, I think 2014 was my first encounter, if not 2015. But it's been this year. It'd be 10 years. Yeah, it's flew by.
And since you are going to be celebrating 10 years in the lifestyle, I'm curious to ask you if you could, like, if you could go back and tell yourself one thing or one thing you wish someone had told you about the lifestyle that you didn't know at the time that you were entering it and starting to explore being in the lifestyle, what would you wish that one bit of advice was?
You know what? I'm going to say communication, because it'll just save you from a lot of situations and a lot of, or maybe not even save you. It may enhance the situation. It may get you out of the situation because, you know, you're dealing with people who have different needs, or they're still kind of understanding themselves. So there were just a lot of trial and error where if I just had to said, hey, you know, this is exactly what I'm looking for, or what are you looking for, or hey, these are my rules, et cetera. And it would have saved me a lot of grief, because there's been times where maybe I didn't fit that role that they were looking for, or maybe they were new. And if I had known how to kind of take a charge of a situation or communicate, like, hey, you know, here's XYZ. And that would have just solved a lot of grief, because I mean, from traveling, you know, you're driving hours, you know, never more than like 2 hours, but you know, or you're just spending energy and time. And you know, it always sucks when things don't go well or go your way. So a lot of that can just be alleviated through communication.
Now let's talk about how you entered the adult industry. I've been interviewing performers now for over 15 years, and I have interviewed many performers that were in the lifestyle before porn, and the lifestyle basically, was like the way that it, sort of like their introduction to porn started. You know what I'm saying? Because there are many performers, amateur, established content creators and all that kind of stuff that were in the lifestyle before porn. That's not to say that everybody in the lifestyle is in porn. There is the lifestyle, and then there are those that are in the adult entertainment industry. And now you're in the porn industry. So how did that happen? Was it something because of the lifestyle, or was it something completely different? How you sort of, jumped into the adult industry?
Okay, so I'm gonna give you a little context, because I'm a context guy. I originally tried to get into the porn industry when I was like 19 or 20, because I'm a porn connoisseur. I enjoy the art, you know, porn. I enjoy looking at women, the physical action of it. I have an appreciation for it. But at that time, I was in the military. It was just difficult. They were asking questions, and then I was married. And then there was a situation where a guy reached out to me from LA. You know, about potentially, I guess working with his company, or I can't fully draw everything at the moment, but some of his requests just kind of threw me off, and I got uncomfortable. So, you know, it didn't work out. So, fast forward, 2022. I have a couple good friends of mine. This is probably like our second, third hanging out, and they say, "Hey, have you heard of this event called Splash Mocha?" And I'm just like, no, what the hell is that? You know, like, oh man, it's like a hotel takeover. You know, these couples come from all over the U.S. and sometimes, you know, overseas, looking for black men. So it's kind of centered toward black men, and the couples are just there to have a good time. And I'm like, okay, cool. And you know, I didn't really think about it too much. And they mentioned it again. They're like, hey, if you're interested, we can add you as a guest, you know. And you know, they do it all over. They do it in Florida, Orlando, Lauderdale. They do it in Atlanta, and they have a Houston. So again, I'm San Antonio based. And I was like, well, you know what? Okay, it's a reasonable cost. Okay, it's in Houston. I'm like, okay, why not? You know. So I go there and my mind is just blown. I mean, it's from all the festivities going on, from the networking, the couples. I mean, it's a phenomenal event. It's definitely one of my favorite swinger events. So anyways, I get in a group chat, and they have like, I believe it's called Magnum BBCs. So, you know, it's a group chat of guys just always saying, hey, you know, anybody traveling to so-and-so, or, you know, and this group chat is Texas based. But again, they have people all over the US in this group chat. But there's a guy, Sam Goliath. And I think on Twitter, its name is Goliath of DFW or some. I got to look that up. But he says, hey, we got a lady named Sweet Vicky. She's looking for a gangbang, you know, but you have to be a creator. So, mind you, I was a huge fan. I still am a huge fan of hers. I'm like, oh, man, this lady's so gorgeous. She's pretty. She's blonde, blue-eyed, white lady. Yeah, very high opinion of her. So he tells me, he's like, hey, man, yeah, you're welcome to come, but, you know, hey, you know, you got to get tested. You got to create. You got to have an OnlyFans account. You got to be willing to be filmed. And in my mind, I'm like, you know what? Fuck it, you know, because, I mean, couples have been filming me from the get-go, man. Like, I mean, from when I first started, just people love to film the sex. And I'm like, well, you know, people are already filming anyways. So I'm like, you know, why not? You know what I mean? So, anyways, we go there. We do the game bang. It went okay. You know what I mean? It was deep. But it was just got my foot in the door. And from there, you know, he's like, hey, man, I really appreciate you showing up. You did a good job. There is an Atlanta content party, which was hosted by Xavier Blacking and his wife. It's drawing a blank, his wife. But anyway, so I just networked my way into meeting these people. You know, and you gradually, you promote, and, you know, you kind of rub elbows and shoulders with people. And that kind of just transitions to where I am today.
That's so interesting. You really, you know, you finessed your way into the industry in the best way possible. I mean, it really is all about networking. It's about, you know, knowing the right people, you know, being a stand-up person. And then all of a sudden, you know, you get recommended here and there and everywhere. Like, that's incredibly fascinating. As someone who was a fan of the industry, as someone who tried to be in the industry before, it must feel some type of way, you know, very gratifying that you finally have made it. You know, you finally become this porn content creator.
Yeah, absolutely, man. When I say I'm extremely blessed and, you know, humble, man, for the people, whether it was Sweet Vicky or Sam Goliath, they just kind of gave me opportunity just to get my foot in the door. Because like I said, I'm a fan first. You know, I appreciate these people, what they do. I love women. You know, women are just God's best creation in my eyes. So, you know, not even just sex. I just looking at you, the beauty, you know what I mean? So, like you said, it was very gratifying and to get in these rooms with people. And it's like, you know, a little bit starstruck. You're like, oh, man, that's, you know, X, Y, Z, or that's so-and-so. So to meet them in person, and, you know, it's a really cool thing.
Absolutely. So in total, how long would you say that you've been in the adult entertainment industry?
So my first scene, was December 22. So, was shot in December 22. So that is, it's going to be a year and a half here soon. So, maybe about 15, 16 months.
Very nice. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now let's talk about your performer name. Where did your name come from?
Oh, man. So when I was in the lifestyle industry, I was in the military. So, you know, you're very secretive. And I was married at the time. So I was like, oh, man, I can't give my real name. You know what I mean? So, Darren, I just thought of Darren. I was like, you know, Darren flows. It fits me. You know, it just seems like it makes sense. So I chose Darren. So that's been my lifestyle name. Even to this day, I don't know, it's just a habit. I still tell people, like, you know, if they ask me my real name, I have no qualms or no issue telling them. I just got so used to it. That's kind of my identity. So the Blaze part, I'm an avid hip hop fan. So I was listening to I don't know. I think it's like Method Man, Bring the Pain, or Wu-Tang Clan. And he's like, I'm Johnny Blaze or something. He says a rhyme. I'm like, oh man, like Johnny Blaze. So I like that Blaze part. And I was like, you know what, Darren Blaze, that's it for me. So yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. How I got the name Darren Blaze.
I'm kind of curious to ask you, because you know you were married, and clearly you were doing. You're doing some shady stuff on the low, being a part of the lifestyle while you were married, and even considering being in porn when you were married, because I'm assuming you would have done that on the low too.
Well, kind of. Well, you know, when I initially tried to apply to these porn companies, I wasn't married at the time.
Oh, okay. All right.
But however, it was like a gap where me and my ex-wife were on a break. And then after I got divorced, I tried it again, but you know, the situation didn't go good. I didn't get good vibes from this gentleman I was in.
All right. Well, I have to ask as a follow-up, did she ever find out you were in the lifestyle? Did you, in essence, get caught? Did you confess? Like, how did she ever know that you were, you know, basically having a whole lot of sex with a whole bunch of married people?
Yeah, you know, so I don't think she ever found out the extent of things I was doing. I mean, she definitely knew I was messing around, you know, but I don't think she knew that it was in the manner, the lifestyle, the couple element of it, you know. But yeah, she went through my phone and, you know, she told me, and, you know, it's worse, you know, my ex-wife is a black woman, you know, not to make it about race, but I was caught talking to white women, so that's like a culturally, that's like a mortal sin. So I mean, I was, yeah, she kicked my ass pretty bad. But as far as, you know, I never outright admitted it, because the military, you have to have like substantial proof. That's one thing about the military, like you literally have to be caught in the act of having sex before they can issue any, they call it UCMJ, it's court martial, it's judicial punishment, where they can pretty much take your rank or take money out your paycheck. So for that simple fact, I never outright admitted. I just said, hey, I don't know what you're talking about. Hey, I'm just talking, just been friends. I had a friend, he has a quote, he says, deny to the day you die. So it's nothing I'm particularly proud of, you know, it's unfortunate. But yeah, that's kind of the gist of it.
As someone who is a fan of the industry, I'm curious to ask you, now that you are in it, what do you enjoy most about starring in porn scenes?
Two things I enjoy. What I enjoy creating, and doing something unique. So I always try to approach people with a angle. How can we excite the viewers? And because I don't, you know, anybody can just have sex in porn, but I try to do something. It doesn't always work out that way, but when we're able to come up with some kind of creative scene, whether that be outdoors or we're just at some unique location or some storyline and it comes together well, I mean, that's just like, oh man, that means a lot to me. And then still, you know, socially, you know, because, I mean, to me, that's an underrated aspect of the lifestyle, content, whatever, just the social connection I get with people. I've met plenty of people that actually enjoy their company. But there's some people, you know, you create with and you're like, yeah, I'm not too crazy about them or their vibe or maybe their husband or maybe just them as a person or their style. You're not too particularly thrilled with. But it's always a pleasure making friends and meet people. They're like, wow, you know, like in person, you're really cool, you know, and I can see myself outside of sex hanging out with you or getting a drink, you know. So I would say those are my two my favorite things about making content. And I guess also when fans, you know, I generally do, I can't forget about the fans, I generally do love when fans reach out to me and they say, man, I really appreciate your work, or man, you were like stroking this girl just really good. And I mean, that always like brings joy to my heart, man, because it means I'm doing something good, I'm doing something right. So those are the three things I enjoy the most.
Let's talk about the good and the bad about porn shoots in general. When you're on set, when you're at a porn shoot, when you're ready to film some content, what turns you on the most and what turns you off the most?
Oh man, I love this question, man. I'm sure I'm gonna miss something, but I'm gonna try to capture everything. Okay, so first, what I enjoy, I never like to go to a shoot just cold. What type of drink? Some people are just like, hey, you're here, like, let's get to it, like, take your clothes off, whip it out. I'm like, damn, okay, like, let me warm up a little bit. You know, if you watch basketball, they shoot around for about 30 minutes, an hour before they actually start playing. So I'm just like, you know, like, let's, you know, nothing extensive, but, you know, let's have a chat, maybe a drink, just catch a vibe really quick. What else? What am I thinking? So anyways, when we have a chat and the vibe is there, I really enjoy that portion. When they're attractive, just as attractive as they are online and in person, I guess I probably kind of phrased that wrong, but when they are as attractive online as in person, I love that. I'm a big foreplay guy, so I love to kiss, love to make out, I love oral. You can kind of keep people's energy, you know, you can keep people's enthusiasm. That just gets me like rocking. Kink, rim jobs, that just drives me wild. What I don't enjoy about content sometimes, I don't like to be overly contrived. And when I say that, sometimes it seems there, I've come across husbands or directors, and then, you know, that's the difference between pro for me and, you know, you're doing amateur, you're doing OnlyFans, et cetera. You can be overly directed. You know, you gotta stop, you gotta start, and they're like, hey, you know, move here and do this. And, you know, that whole time you gotta maintain the erection, you gotta maintain excitement, you know. And that can kind of throw me off a little bit. And I don't like, I had a shoot, you know, I won't, I mean, really nice, I mean, they're nice people, but I don't like change or last minute changes. We're doing this, I was talking to this lady, we're doing the content house, and initially we're doing a one-on-one. And she's like, yeah, you know, we're gonna shoot on Saturday, blah blah blah. And then we had, you know, he's a popular pro performer. I won't mention his name. I don't have anything against a guy, good guy. But you know, once you know, ladies come across like a famous pro performer. He's been on Blacked. I mean, I'll just say his name rhymes with Hyper, and I'll let you guys. His last name rhymes with Hyper. I'll let you guys kind of figure that one out. But man, she just got kind of,
I think I already
she lost
figured
her
it
mind.
out.
Yeah, she got overexcited when he came in. I'm like, hey, I get it, man. That's a good look, thick look. But she's like, hey, now we're gonna do a gangbang, and you know, blah blah blah. I'm like, okay, you know, I was kind of hoping for a one-on-one, you know, but okay. But the scene just took so long to shoot, man. And it was like, then, you know, it was like, hey, how's my hair? It was a lot of semantics and a lot of like trivial things that wasn't really relevant, you know what I mean, to the shoot. And, you know, say hypothetically, you're in the room at 7 p.m. and you're like, all right, I'm thinking we're gonna shoot the next 30 minutes, man. We didn't shoot till like 9. And that was like, by then I'm irritated. I'm like, come on, man, like this is just insane, you know. So those would be, like I said, you know, last minute changes. Don't like going to a shoot just cold, like, hey, let's do it or redirect it. I'm a simple guy. It doesn't take a lot to please me. But yeah, communication. I mean, I'm sure there's other ones that come to my head later on, and I'll be like, dang, I should have mentioned that. But off the top, you know, those would, hygiene, of course. It's only happened once where I had a lady. Her hygiene wasn't the best, and I just couldn't perform as well. But you know, that's very, very rare. So yeah, those kind of be the checkpoints.
May I just say, and this is just a public announcement to anybody that's listening, this is porn. You should have good hygiene. You should smell good and you should taste good. I'm just saying, because that is a part of the job. Yes.
Man, you'll be surprised, man. It blows my mind. You know, I'm 32, and women still to this day, you know, have to, hey, you know, make sure you brush your teeth and come freshly shower. And I'm just like, I mean, I thought that was kind of like a given, unspoken. But you know, again, I'm not perfect. I don't want to act like I'm holier than thou, but I've, you know, But I've seen people at these concert parties, especially, you know, they're not showering in between scenes, not brushing their teeth again. And, you know, sometimes you do on a shoot house and you shine like 3-4 scenes and not like a threesome or an orgy. Like, it's okay, I shot at 9, then I shot again at 10. And I've seen people, they didn't shower or they didn't freshen up. And I'm just like, oh man, that's totally not cool.
Facts on facts on facts. How would you describe your fuck style? How would you describe your performance style?
Oh man, that's a good question. I know every question is a good question, right? But you know, a lot goes into these shoots. At least for me, I have like a whole process routine. I work out consistently. I'm trying to eat the right foods. You know, especially days before a shoot, because I want to look good on camera. You know. Trying to come, you know, well trimmed with a clean haircut, you know, because you know, impressions, first impressions, everything. But my mindset when I go into a scene is I focus on the woman first and her needs. You know, so many guys when they go wrong is they're just trying to get off. They're trying to please themselves. So my goal is to take this woman and please her. I want to give you, you know, minimum 25-30 minutes of just great solid sex, variation of stroking, variation of positions, and I gotta at least make you come 2-3 times to feel, you know, good in myself, you know. And then another thing too, I'm not trying to just bruise you. I'm not, you know, I've seen a lot of guys, you know, they fuck like a jackhammer, and that's not really the right. It's very rare a woman's like, hey, just pound me crazy and give it to me rough, I'll take it all. You know what I mean? You gotta know the chemistry, body language when a woman's pushing back on you, when she's falling with you. It's a rhythm thing, and that's where I think a lot of guys they fail, because they're just going, it's one note, or they're not catching like, oh, she's kind of putting her hand on my hip, that means to slow down, ease up, you know. So I just always focus on the rhythm and catching that woman's, I guess her vibe or her rhythm, and trying to just match that and, you know, switch it up.
Now let's compare and contrast that with a lifestyle encounter. How does your, you know, fuck style change or maybe even adjust off camera when you're having a lifestyle moment?
Okay, good one. So lifestyle, you know, there may be certain kinks that people are into, and I'm like, okay, you know, behind closed doors, maybe we can push the limits a little bit. And then, you know, because I may be the only guy, most likely, that she's seen that day, and it's not a scene, you know, because for me, again, this is not a diss anybody. This is not, you know, down. I'm not trying to, like, shoot an hour scene. I feel like we can accomplish everything we need to in a 25-35-minute frame. Now, if we're flowing, I've got plenty of ladies that we just flow together, and we're good. So we'll just keep going, you know, and the camera just rolls. But, yeah, lifestyle, especially if I drive an hour, you know, or more, I'm definitely trying to get my money's worth, so I may fuck a little bit longer, you know. And then there may be, you know, you got cucks and, you know, hey, let me put it in, or, you know, can I be right there? And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, there's certain things that I may take some slack for this, but, you know, I've done some race play where, you know, back in the day, Shane Diesel, he had interracial pass. So he would make these white women say the N word, like, hey, you know, do you like this nigger cock? And, you know, me, I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was funny. I thought it was a turn on, you know, taking this white woman who's attractive and making us an N-word in the context of sex. But in the content world, that's not really as accepted anymore. And then, you know, lifestyle-wise, you don't really care about angles. You don't really care about movement. You're just kind of going and going with the flow. Which, you know, sometimes you are in the content world, but lifestyle is more, a little bit more, I guess, free form, for sure. You don't have to worry about a cameraman and somebody moving around. So those are the key differences.
What I want to do with you now is to break down a porn scene. So in a scene, which do you enjoy the most? Oral, vag, or anal?
Oh, man. Ooh. It's a photo finish, because I mean I love oral. Man, that's like peanut butter and jelly, man. Like, they just go hand in hand. But I'm going to have to say penetration. Nothing beats penetration. Nothing beats badge. I mean, the variety of positions that you can do once a woman gets wet and lubricated. I mean, it's tight, though. If you ask me, it's like, it's 51-49. That's a tough one.
In a scene, do you enjoy being rimmed?
Oh, yeah, man. It's my favorite. You know, initially I was a little embarrassed about it. You know, because, you know, people say it's feminine or, you know, it's not masculine, you know. And, you know, one thing about Black men, we're very protective of our masculinity, you know. And, you know, we're very, you know, macho and alpha. But I had a cousin, and he was like, hey, man, you know, don't frown on me, you know, but, you know, this girl, I know she eats my ass. And I was like, oh, man, I'm glad you said that, because, you know, it's a girl who eats my ass, you know. And I was like, initially, I felt weird about it, but, you know, I mean, I absolutely enjoy it, man. It's a huge turn on.
When you're shooting porn, what's your favorite sexual position to perform for the camera? And as a follow-up, what's your favorite position off camera? Is it the same as your favorite position on camera?
Yeah, so on camera, I love picking girls up. It's something about, I'm not the tallest guy, or, you know, I'm not the biggest guy, but it's always just funny because, you know, when I was younger, I could squat like 300 pounds. I've just always had great leg strength. And so when I pick these women up, and I can look in their eyes, they're just shy. They're like, oh, my God. You know. So I love picking women up on camera. And I love, like, missionary. But I love the missionary where I'm a little bit more upright. I'm not just kind of, like, laying down, but I'm almost kind of on my knees. A little bit on my knees. I'm just more upright as opposed to just laying flat on top of them. So it just really pops on camera. People really see you stroking. They see the reaction of the lady. And probably, now, in lifestyle, I'd probably say doggy style. I don't know, something about, I'm an ass man, so it's always been effective. It always gets me hard, and it always gets me rock hard, gets me going. So, yeah, that'd be it for me.
And, of course, we know how a scene ends with the pop shot, the money shot. In a scene, where's your favorite place to shoot your load?
Oh, man. I guess, cream pies are great, but I guess facial. Because lately, I don't know, man. I've been shooting some of my best cum shots. I don't know if it's the vitamins I'm taking, the changing diet. So I'm going to go slight edge to facial. Second is cream pie. I hate coming on tits. It's just boring to me. So when girls are like, oh, come on my tits, I'm like, oh, it's so boring. Or, you know, coming on the ass or the stomach. I mean, it's facials one, cream pies two.
Let's talk about the double of it all. Let's talk about DPs in all of its forms. As a performer who, you know, has done DPs, DVPs, and that sort of thing, I want to get your take on what goes into making a good DP scene, you know, whether it's just double penetration in general, double vag, double anal, that kind of stuff. And how difficult is it to sort of, because at the end of the day, and I think a lot of people that watch those scenes and see, you know, those acts performed on camera, I feel like a lot of them don't really realize that, you know, it takes a lot of effort to make those scenes look good for the camera. I mean, there really is almost, it's kind of like a dance, for lack of a better word. There is choreography, for lack of a better word, as well. You know, you have to get it right. And in some of those positions, there has to be basically a performer to be the anchor so that, the ship doesn't sink, for lack of a better word. So let's talk about it.
Okay. I've never tried, was it DAP, double anal penetration? I'd like to, but man, finding a girl who is that open is man, it's like looking for a unicorn. But obviously my favorite is DPP. I don't know, man, it's just something about a woman. It's something about two guys and we're enjoying this woman. It's like a mutual bonded experience. You know what I mean? You have to kind of leave your, what is called, inhibitions at the door. You can't worry about like, oh, is it gay? Or, oh, I don't feel rubbing dicks. I mean, for me, I'm focused on the woman and pleasing her. So that's when I walk into a situation, my number one is making her happy. So I had a buddy a long time ago. He was a lifestyle friend of mine. And we would always run tag teams. You know, we run double missions. So he taught me, he said, when you do DVP, come at an angle. So whoever's on top, you need to enter at the side. Don't go directly on top because you keep slipping out. And then that guy on the bottom needs to be hard, because if not, you know, it won't flow. Somebody keeps slipping out. But if you're both rocked up and ready to go, it flows pretty well. And then, you know, you gotta understand friction. A lot of people, you know, once you catch the woman's wet or, you know, whatever, you know, you'll catch that friction. And you gotta let one or the other go. So either the guy on the bottom is going at it from the bottom, or you're going at it from the top. So that's the science to DVP. Now DP, or also from the front. I didn't speak on that's from the back. If you do it from the front, same thing. You kind of gotta go at an angle, but her leg needs to kind of be extended, almost like. Either she's all the way cocked back and her hands are kind of behind her, she's using her hands to support her, or the guy on the bottom is kind of supporting her, and her leg is kind of, I usually like to go in from, I'm facing her from the right, so I guess that'd be her left, and her leg is kind of extended out a little bit. So, you know, usually we're able to usually flow pretty well. DP, I haven't done it a lot, man. I mean, I love it. But, you know, not every girl is equipped for that, and I understand. But, I mean, it's if you can find the right partner, that's kind of a little bit more straightforward. Because, again, same thing, you just need to be rock hard and down the bottom. And then there's no really angles to that one. Again, you just kind of starting out lady and cowgirl. But I do notice that a lot of times they want the smaller guy to penetrate them anally. So usually the smaller guy ends up in a penetrating anally. And then, you know, your legs, you have to tuck in your legs. That's another thing. That bottom guy, you bring those legs all the way in. And you just catch that rhythm. And, you know, you try not to work when the other guy's working. Either one guy's going or vice versa.
Over the course of the time that you've been in this industry for the past year and some change, who have been some of your most favorite performers to work with? Now, I'm not necessarily looking for like top five, top three or anything like that. Just names that sort of are popping into your mind right now as I'm asking this question, and where you're kind of like, you know what? That was a really good scene. That one stands out.
I'm going to say I have a friend. Her name is Diana Davis. She's down there in Fort Lauderdale. We just have great chemistry, and she's a photographer, so she understands like angles and just different things, the art of that. You know, we hang out on a just even outside of that, so I really appreciate her. Harley Moans, I'm not gonna say where she lives at because I don't know if she wants, but she shows her face and everything. I just don't know if she puts out her location, but she's in the South. Again, that's another one where she's kind of petite, so I'm able to do all these crazy positions and kind of flip her up and down, and we just, man, we go at it for like 45 minutes, and to me the sex is when you don't even feel like you went that long, you know, that's great sex. And then I two more, Southern Bull Rider. Again, she doesn't show her face, so I won't particularly say where she's from, but you know, obviously she's on Twitter. But man, we did a one. Her body's just great. She's like an all-American white girl, blue eyes, nice boobs, nice ass, just great look, flat stomach. And we did a outdoor scene. We did like it was kind of on a farm, and it just came out super hot. It was raining. I bent her over like a rail. I mean, it was very hot. And then another standout scene, I'm drawing a blank, Hot Wife Suzanne. I want to say she's in her 50s, but man, she's by far one of the hottest 50-year-olds you'll ever see. I mean, she ran me, she had me bent over. It's wild to me. I mean, she squirted all over the place. She gave me oral from the back. I mean, it was absolutely insane. So those are the ones that come to mind.
Now, let me get you some new collab work. Let's use the power of manifestation to your benefit. Who have you not worked with yet that you would love to do a scene with? Who is on your wish list?
Good question. You know what? I have a thing for brunettes. I don't get a lot of brunettes like I want to. So I'm going to say Char Gates, C-H-R Gates. She's out there, and I think she's out there in Florida. She's tall, 6 feet. She just has like a very nice look to her. You know what I mean? It's just natural, just unique look. Who else? There's a lady by the name of Marie Fox. She's in Vegas. Find her incredibly attractive. She does a lot of gangbang work. Who else, man? There's a lady. I know her name is like Laura or GA Hotwife. She looks maybe Hispanic. But she's out there in GA in Georgia. Riley Jacobs. Those are the things that, you know, it's always plenty more, but off the top of my head, those are the ones that come to mind. Who I'd love to do work with.
Are there any individuals in the industry, whether they be in front of the camera or behind the camera, that you look up to? Are there any fellow performers that inspire you with what you're trying to do with your very own slice of the industry?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to say one of the first is Tribal. I think his page is The Only Tribal or I Am Sex Showman. Dear friend of mine, he's invited me to plenty of his content shoots in Florida. He thinks deeper, on a deeper level than sex, and you know, how to engage fans, how to be creative, and then just the financial and the business aspect, you know, because again, you're trying to run a business. So you're trying to get engagement, you're trying to meet numbers. So I mean, not saying that's all it's about, but obviously, you know, we travel, we put a lot of energy to this, so it would be nice to get a financial reward. And then I've met some ladies, who can I think of? One that comes to mind, her name is Mama Bombshell. She's a MILF. Well, I don't know, I think she's based in California. Just her perspective on business. She's got like an OnlyFans accountant who strictly, you know, does taxes for OnlyFans. And we did a shoot house. And, you know, a lot of times people travel and, you know, they may get one or two scenes in, but I've never seen anybody so business oriented as her. I mean, there was not a second where she wasn't doing something. It could have been a TikTok. It could have been posting on Reddit. So during that, it was a 3-day span from Thursday to Sunday. I mean, this lady was busting her ass. And I said, oh, okay, I see why you're top 1% or you're 0.7%. You know, your work ethic. So those two come to mind, people that, you know, I really respect.
Who are some of the people in the industry that are a part of your support system? Who are some of your allies in the industry?
Yes, I keep a close circle. You know, I don't try to be friends with everybody just because I don't. Let me rephrase that. I don't try to get too close to everybody because, you know, you got to know people's intentions and that can create drama. So I've always been you know, particular. So Rob Nation, great guy. Just we always bounce off each other. Chocolate Beast, I believe that you interviewed him previously.
Yes. Very awesome. Great guy. Dude.
I mean, very co-signed genuine, that. Man. Just genuine guy, man. You know, his intentions are pure. I mean, then like I said, Tribal, like the only Tribal. I mean, just solid dude, man. Because he gave me some opportunities, and he introduced me to some women that, you know, that I probably wouldn't have access to without his backing or without his approval. And he just kind of taught me to think bigger than just, hey, you're going there to have sex, and you're going there, you know, like think about it from a totality perspective. And then, like I said, shout out to the ladies, Diana Davis, Harley Mullins. Those are some of my favorite people.
Well, now it's time for the big question, a question that I'm sure a lot of your hardcore fans and supporters might be curious to know. How much is Darren Blaze packing?
I'm at 8.5. Just 8.5 inches.
Now, earlier we talked about the pop shot. You know, it's called the money shot for a reason. It's a big boom at the end of a scene.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to ask you, as a performer, do you do anything in particular to prepare for the pop shot when you have a shoot coming up and, you know you're going to have to pop? What do you do in preparation to make sure that the pop shot looks good for the camera?
Yeah, so one, you know, I try to hold off on jacking off a couple of days out. Two, diet is a big thing, taking the right supplements. So I'm going to give you guys some game, magnesium, zinc, things of that nature. And then I drink a lot of watermelon smoothies. So I beet powder, anything with blood flow. Some GMC products, so those are my primary things. And then it's just about the angle, man. You know, just, you know, when you're getting ready to pop, you know, make sure that you got it centered. I've shot over girls a few times. I'm like, oh, man, that was just a good. I mean, I still got them, but then the first initial shot went on their head. I'm like, oh, man, I wish we had got that one in. But yeah, those would be my tips.
What I want to do now is shift the tone of the interview just a hair and talk about some of the more serious issues in the industry. And the first question in this set is, are there any misconceptions or myths about porn performers, about adult content creators that you would like to dispel?
Yeah, man. One is that that we just have sex 24/7, or we're just always jacking off, beating our meat, and that, you know, people think that we can just get rock hard on command and, you know, just like we're human too, you know what I mean? So there's things where we're not perfect. And then, you know, lifestyle people have this weird perception that we're not tested. They're like, oh, you do porn, you know, that's safe and blah, blah, blah. And I always find that funny. Like, dude, I've been tested like, man, since July, I've probably been tested like 20 times. It's absolutely insane. Probably at least spend over $1,000 on testing, easy. Other ones that you're enjoying the sex. I mean, it's been times, not a lot, but I've kind of had to take the sex a little bit. You know, I hate to bring that umbrella down, but it's been scenes where I just wasn't really attracted to the female talent, or maybe there was something that just threw me off. So yeah, it's a little bit mentally more difficult than, you know, outsiders are the average person, I think.
I want to talk with you about competition in a world now where, you know, there are so many subscription-based platforms as well as a la carte-based platforms that anyone can upload content to. You know, in a world where anybody can be a content creator, and especially an adult content creator, I'm kind of curious to ask you, as someone who's been in the game now for about a year and a half, your thoughts on competition. Do you feel like in this OnlyFans world, you know, where people are looking at the numbers and the top this percent, top that percent, and that kind of stuff, do you feel like you are in active competition with other performers? Do you feel like other performers are trying to compete with you? Your thoughts on the concept of competition in the industry?
Okay. So from my perspective, I think, you know, maybe people say it's a little bit sexist, you know, but I think that's more prevalent among ladies. And, you know, but you know what, to draw back on that, I do think that there are guys looking at like, oh, you know, you film with this person or what is he doing? I'm competitive in the sense of like, not necessarily that, I'm not trying to look at too much at what other people are doing in the terms of, because then it can mess with your creative process. You know what I mean? I peep in a little bit, you know, oh, okay, that's a neat idea, you know, but I don't try to get too deep into it because then you're not running your race, you're running their race, or you're, you know, you're falling behind because you're looking at other people. But from a numbers perspective, you do look like, man, you know, like, okay, like, you know, I do want to get my numbers up, or, you know, there's times where I'm like, I don't really, you know, this guy, he's not putting out, in my eyes, the most quality content, but how the hell does he get, you know, X amount of views and how much, you know what I mean? So it does run through my mind at times. I just try not to let it, you know, overtake me too much, or consume me rather.
Is there an aspect of the adult industry that you do not enjoy?
It's not much. I mean, I know the cost for sure, and it's expensive. So if you want to be in this industry, and you really want to be making some headway, it is expensive, you know, from testing to traveling, time consuming. I mean, I've been on the road since November, so sometimes travel gets tough, or the cost, because you're getting rental cars, you're getting hotels, make these scenes happen. But other than that, no, I couldn't say there's not too much that I don't enjoy. Like I said, other than just meeting the right group of people, you know what I mean? Making sure that we all have chemistry, and then just making sure the scenes flow.
I'm curious to pick your brain on the concept of collaborations. You know, as an adult content creator, you have to do collabs with other adult content creators and that sort of thing. And in this world, you know, of, you know, miscommunication, maybe flakes and that sort of thing, how difficult is it to secure a collab? Is it as easy as, you know, commenting on a tweet, sliding into someone's DMs? As someone who basically has to do it all as an adult content creator, you know, you are your own talent booker. You may have to edit your own content. You are your own promotional team. How difficult is it to secure a collab and to make sure that it actually goes through and you film the content?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'd say about a 6. A lot of times, you know, not so much now, but I had to kind of prove myself, you know, who you work with, and are you're kind of jumping through hoops to make it. I mean, even still somewhat, you know, the work that I put in to make the lab. I mean, I'm talking about, I'm flying to Mississippi, to Alabama. And then still I may have to get a rental car and drive another 2 hours, or, you know, I'm hopping on a bus to get to XYZ. So logistically, there's definitely challenges. Just communication with testing sometimes, because it's very rare, but every once in a while somebody will say, hey, you know, can you get swabs, or can you get this additional testing? And not that I have a problem with it, but the fact that I didn't initially know about it kind of can throw a monkey wrench, you know, and things. And now you're jumping through hoops to try to hurt me, get this testing done, so everything can, you know, pan out. But in terms of actually getting introductions and talking to people, it's got a little bit easier. One thing that people have to realize is that Twitter or X is kind of like a resume. It's a resume of who you've worked with, what kind of content you have. The better that is, it's small. It's a small industry. You know, your name will get out there. As you see, there is always something every day, some kind of drama, or it could be something good on Twitter. You have to be mindful of that. It's been going a little bit better for me. I've been able to DM people. I usually have a strategy. I may put a picture or a meme, because, you know, you got to realize these ladies, our guys, they get 1,000 comments a day. It's easy to gloss over that. So normally I just kind of put a meme or a GIF, or is that, if that's how you say it, GIF, and I say, hey, DM'd you, you know, check your inbox. And, you know, just being able to communicate and articulate yourself. I mean, that's carried me a long way, you know, and basically getting referrals. So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
As a Black man in the adult entertainment industry, have you ever experienced any racism, colorism, discrimination, or microaggressions?
No. Usually everybody's cool. You know, primarily I'm working with white creators. I try not to look at color or put an emphasis. I mean, that's just who I find an attraction to. But, you know, or who ends up doing a majority of the adult work. But what I will say is the word is objectified or stigmatized, or I think it's objectified, especially with couples, because lifestyle couples, because they'll just refer to you as BBC, you know what I mean? Or, hey, you know, there's no kind of formal conversation. They're just like, hey, fuck my wife. There's no, hey, man, nice to meet you. I just want to reach out and say hello. It's just like, hey, my wife needs a dick. You know, it's like, hey, I'm more than just, you know, a BBC per se. So that's the only thing that gets to me sometimes. And when you do it in terms of shooting scenes, I totally understand, because that's what sells. So I have no issue with that, you know. But you know, at the end of the day, I'm still a human. So just treat me as such, and not as a prop, you know, or a real life dildo per se.
Let's actually talk about that a little bit more. I want to get your take on some of the racially charged language that can be used, not just in the lifestyle, but also with adult content creators. There are some people that don't like the term BBC, terms like Queen of Spades and that sort of thing. I know that you did reference that you didn't mind a little bit of race plays, but I want to get your take on just the racially charged language that can be used in content creation as well as in the lifestyle.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind it. I understand it's a business. It's a selling point, you know, kind of like when you go on YouTube and what do you notice? You notice the title, you notice the thumbnail. Or you go on Pornhub, you know, and it's like, hey, black guy bangs, big booty white girl. It's a attention getter. It's a seller. It's all about the context, you know. So if we're doing it in the context of shooting a scene, but if that's all you see me as, you know, sometimes they don't even see you as, I don't want to say human being, but they just see you as a item or a commodity. But other than that, I don't have a huge issue with it. I mean, I understand the business behind it. It's kind of the wave right now, you know. It's interracial BBC. But what I do have an issue with is when people falsely use that. Because you'll have girls and be like, oh, I'm a queen of spades and never shot with a black guy once, you know what I mean? Or they're just saying that, and, you know, you're like, okay, where's your footage? You know, don't falsely proclaim that. If you're just using that, you know, as a way to make, you know, get some leeway or make headway, you know, that's when I get a little irritated.
As a black man in the industry, as you referenced, you know, you shoot mostly with white women. Do you get any flack from your fans or maybe even fellow performers for not really shooting with black women?
In my personal life, I do. But I mean, my family doesn't really know what I do. But, you know, again, a lot of my sexual encounters have been with white women. So personally, I get a lot of flack from my family for it. It's funny. But no, just because it's not that against you being black women. I mean, I love black women. I mean, I love women of all races. It's just that predominantly they're the ones who are shooting most of the content. And then they kind of, in the past when I've seen black women who create, they kind of go for a particular look. And I'm not here to down talk them, you know, but I've seen they kind of go more of a tattoo, dread look. You know, I'm kind of more of a clean cut guy. Or when I collab, I'm looking for trades. I'm not looking necessarily to pay. They're kind of looking for you to pay, you know, like, hey, if you want to shoot a scene, which, again, I'm not knocking their hustle or their business model. It's just not for me.
As a performer in the industry and as someone who is in the lifestyle, I'm curious to ask you, how difficult is it to date while being an adult content creator and while being in the lifestyle? Is it difficult to date? I don't even know if you are dating or if you're looking to date. But I'm just curious, you know, how do you balance a personal sort of like romantic relationship while doing the work that you do and while being in the lifestyle?
Oh, it's very hard because, I mean, the average person isn't necessarily accepting of it. It's a tough conversation to have, you know. And two, the downside to the lifestyle or doing content is, at least in my perspective, you kind of get a certain high off of it, you know, like a dopamine. Like, man, anytime you meet somebody new, the thrill of it. I mean, I had a lady complain about, you know, her husband, he does content. She does it too, but he just does it on a more higher scale. And she was like, oh, he has all these kinks and, you know, he just, the women, and he never wants to include me. But I mean, you know, it's a certain kind of dopamine in the high, like you meet somebody new, an adrenaline rush. So it's hard to go from that to something that's more vanilla or simple, because I was dating somebody right when I started. And I was trying to fight those urges, and man, it was tough, man. It was so. Right now, while I'm trying to boost my career and my name, I choose to be single by design, just because I don't want to put anybody through that. You know, like I said, I already divorced and, you know, went through the whole cheating phase. I just don't want to repeat that. So I choose to be single by design. But however, you know, in my personal life, if a woman approaches me, I'm not going to turn her down. You know, I just don't pursue them or, you know, make a huge effort to meet people or meet women, rather, just in a regular vanilla type way.
All right. So let's shift away from the serious stuff and let's talk about something else that's serious in a different way. Let's talk about your original content. What can the listeners expect to see on your OnlyFans, from your many vids? I will say this, for someone that's been in the industry for just about a year and a half, you have a lot of content. So major props to you on that, because that is incredibly impressive. You know, there are performers that have been in the game for about the same length that you have that don't have as much content on their subscription-based services. You know what I'm saying? So major props to you. So share with the listeners. It's time for you to sort of sell your content. What can they expect to see if they were to subscribe to the subscription-based one, or if they were to sort of cop something a la carte?
Oh, man. You're just going to get somebody who puts 100%. I mean, you'll see it in the camera that I enjoy what I do. You're going to get a good bang for your buck. I'm never looking to overcharge the consumer. And I don't even like the word fans. I like to say supporters. I'm always trying to be creative and bring a different angle. I answer DMs as much as possible. If I missed it, you know, it's not intentional. If I missed a comment or reply, it's never intentional. But you know, you're getting boy girl stuff. You're getting MFMs. You're getting gangbangs. Not as much. Like I said, my expertise is, you know, boy girl scenes. You're getting solo content. I do customs here and there when I get requests for them, and you know, it's nothing that's too outrageous. I don't have an issue with doing that. So, you know, when you get me, like I said, you're getting quality content at a good price, someone who actually communicates with their supporters and listens, just creativity.
How often do you drop new scenes or new content, period, on OnlyFans?
Weekly. So I always try to drop one scene a week. Worst case scenario, it's 10 days. But, I mean, my goal is always to get out one scene a week. Everything, in terms of mini vids, everything goes on there ASAP. So as soon as I get it, it goes to mini vids ASAP. I mean, there's no pay-per-view. However, because I'm so far out, everything's included in your subscription. So you get the full scene, you know, at the subscription cost. However, there's certain scenes that they're just in the queue. So if you want that early, I do sell a pay-per-view. If you want it early, you know, and I try to keep things at $19.99. Between the $17.99, $19.99 range, nothing over $20. But yeah, those mini vids and OnlyFans. then I'm looking to create a fanzine next. So, you know, stay tuned for that.
Very nice. All right, speaking about the future, let's talk about the future of your content. Is there anything that you plan on adding in the future in regards to your original content? I'll give a little BTS to the listeners. You know, I always do kind of like a pre-interview with performers, sort of asking them about the future just to see, you know, if there's anything that I don't know about a performer that might be interesting to ask. And I do know that you referenced when we were discussing the interview that you have been getting a lot of requests from your supporters in regards to seeing solo work from you, even by work and work with trans performers. And you referenced to me that although you haven't done that kind of stuff yet, you are open to that, which I thought was really interesting and very open-minded, especially, you know, now in the year 2024, where performers have been experimenting a little bit more with the types of scene partners they have in their original content. So I want to get your take on that. I want you to express a little bit more as to why you potentially could be doing a different kind of work in the near future in regards to your original content.
You know, just kind of keeping people on their toes. You know, it's always those things I'm not against, you know what I mean? I mean, I enjoy different forms of sexuality, different kinks. I respect it. The tough part is always just transitioning to that, because once you do that, you know, you are kind of in that space, you know what I mean? There's no crossing, there's no going back, you know. So it just have to be the right, it have to be the right opportunity, or just make sense for me. But one thing I do want to do a little bit more is more solo content. I do want to give more people where it's just me. I have a lot of gay fans, and, you know, really appreciate them. So I know they want to see a little bit more of me. And then, you know, maybe some more risque cuckold stuff where the hug's a little bit more involved, or he's a little bit more closer in the scene. I'm definitely open. I think that's going to kind of be my transition. And then everything else is kind of on the table. I mean, it's an option. I'm not against it. It's just, you know, how do I make that transition? Am I ready to make that step?
All right. And I think the most logical follow-up question that many of your supporters might have at this point after hearing all of that is, in your personal life, you know, in the lifestyle or just, you know, in your personal life period, have you ever had a bi experience or an experience with a trans person?
So the bi element, the trans, no. But the bi element, I mean, I had experiences where, you know, the husband gets a little close and, you know, it's some real cuckold stuff. And they put it inside. Hey, I want to put it inside my lady. And I've done that before. Or, you know, they try to both give you a blowjob. So I've had experience with that. That's really as risky as I've gotten. Or, you know, like they do the, you know, you're doing doggy style and they're underneath, the husband's underneath you, or he's underneath his wife. I guess the opposite way. So, you know, they try to lick you and stuff. Or, you know, and I was like, all right, cool. I wasn't totally upset by it. So that's about it. It's you know, risky as I've gone.
All right. So this would be a brand new arena for you, sort of, you know, a kind of sexual exploration on film, in essence.
Absolutely, yes.
Since we're talking about the future, something else that I know is that you are planning on having your own websites. I mean, you have your OnlyFans right now. As you said, you might be doing another subscription-based service. You have an a la carte-based situation with ManyVids. But you are thinking about opening up your own website. Is that still in the early stages? Is that something that you sort of have maybe a tentative timetable on?
Yes. It's, I would say, still about 6 months to a year out, just because I want to build this initial platform. You know, I want to keep building these OnlyFans numbers. I want to keep going up the many of it, you know, the initial mainstream of the go-tos, right? And then I want to be able to convert those people to my own side, because the downside about it is, man, they take so much of your income. You know, like, man, I'll sell a video on Minivids for $19.99, and I'm only getting like $11. And I'm like, oh man, that's kind of brutal. You know, every time I'm getting, that's close to 50%. You know what I mean? That's like 40% right there. So while I'm grateful for these platforms, they take a significant cut. You know what I mean? So I would like 100% ownership of my content, and so that'd be the goal. You know, hopefully we have this conversation in 2025 or the end of 2024, and I'll be there.
I have to give you props on wanting to make your own website, because as you referenced, the subscription-based services, they're very convenient. You know what I'm saying? It's the hotness. It's what everyone's on. Mm. People love to see the stats of people that are on the subscription-based stuff, as well as these a la carte-based websites and that sort of thing. But as you referenced, they do take a large chunk of your money, because you're basically, you're renting, you're leasing, you know, space
exactly.
on their server and that sort of thing. And I feel like a lot of people are using those services as a crutch. And I get it. You know, it's easy. It's convenient. You're on your phone. You just press a button and it's uploaded. But at the end of the day, the best way for you to make some real money is your own website. And yes, there is an upfront cost. You know, you need a web designer. You might need a webmaster to, you know, do maintenance and that sort of thing. You know, you got to make sure you have credit card access and all that kind of stuff. You get approved for all that kind of stuff. You know, it takes time. It takes effort. And that sort of thing. But at the end of it all, it is your website. OnlyFans in particular, I mean, you could upload the hottest scene of your life and you go to bed and you wake up and your entire account has been deleted. When it's your own website, unless you forget to pay, you know, the hosting or your domain name.
Credit card processor. Yeah.
Exactly. Unless you forget to pay that, your website will be there no matter what. So major props to you, a huge hat tip to you for wanting to do that, because I feel like a lot of performers nowadays are forgetting that, you know, they should also have their own website. I mean, sure, keep the OnlyFans, do the ManyVids, do the Loyal Fans, the Fansly, whatever it is that you want to do, but also have your own website, because at the end of the day, that's your baby. That is your site. That is your brand.
Exactly. Yep, it's gonna work.
All right, so as we start wrapping things up, I have this list of pop culture oriented questions that are designed to allow the listeners and your fans to get to know some of your favorites. The first question in this set is, what are five of your most favorite television shows?
Oh man, okay. Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, Curb Your Enthusiasm, and then I'm gonna go with probably Martin Lawrence, the sitcom, and after this one, I get probably the Wayans Brothers. I would go with the Wayans Brothers, a little comedy, so that's like peak 90s comedy for our sitcom comedy for me.
Who are four of your all-time favorite music artists?
Oh man, I'm a diehard hip hop head. I love rap. Nothing. I'm not. I mean, I love all music except for hardcore, heavy metal, and screaming. But it's got to be rap all the way. So it's gonna be Tupac, Nas, Eminem, and Jay-Z.
What are three of your most favorite films?
Oh man, three, man. I'm a thespian, man. It's hard. But let's go with The Dark Knight. Heath Ledger, man, was just incredible in there. I love Heat, with Robert De Niro, Al Pacino. Man, that last one's a tough one, man, because you got, you know what, I'm gonna go Scarface. Scarface is iconic, man. So yeah, those would be. I love crime films. Yeah, and you know, I'm a big superhero guy, but you know, I like the realism a little bit more. So,
What are two foods you can't live without?
Oh, that's easy, man. Pizza and French fries, man. I mean, I'm very mindful of my diet, but, man, I'm a sucker for French fries. I mean, from anywhere, and pizza. I damn near eat any pizza, except for Tony's or some of the cheap store-bought freezer pizza. But, you know, I even still eat Tortino's pizza. So, yeah, those would be it.
And what is one of your guilty pleasures?
Guilty pleasures. I'd say horseback riding. I mean, probably I collect comics, not like I used to, but collecting comics and toys. I know I said one, but I collect a lot of trinkets and toys, particularly like superheroes. And I do enjoy horseback riding. It's not something I do often, but it's just very enjoyable.
What are you currently binging? Are you currently binge watching anything on any of the streaming platforms?
No, I watch a lot of sports. I love sports, man. I do plan to watch some new shows. I've heard about X-Men 97. But yeah, as far as binging, no, maybe The Sopranos. That might be, or Seinfeld. I watched Seinfeld about 2 weeks ago, and I was all right. You know, I gave it a second one. I was all right. This is pretty funny. So I think those would be the next things I would go. I'm a nostalgia guy. I love the 90s, man, and the 80s. So I just feel like that was like peak culture. So those would be probably the next two.
Tell me something quirky about yourself that most people don't know. Something unique about Darren Blaze.
Quirky. I don't know. I don't really have a... Gonna answer. I told you the comics. I collect. I told you horseback riding. I don't. You know. I don't have. That's. You got me stumped on that one. I'm a little bit obsessive compulsive. I'm very particular about certain things for sure. Things have to be kind of a certain way. Or, but yeah. You got me stumped on that one. I just can't think of anything.
Describe yourself in 10 words or less.
Oh, man. Positive, explorative, always seeking adventure. Yeah, those would be it.
What's next for Darren Blaze? What can the listeners and your fans and supporters expect from you in the near future? What's going to be coming out soon?
Next week, actually tonight I'm shooting a scene, with the lovely, hot wife AF. Excited about that. And then next week I got Chicago Exotica. So, I mean, it's going to be a blast. I got some really good creators that I'm working with. And then I have a potential YouTube channel, that is going to be, obviously it's safe for work, SFW, that I'm looking into start, just where I'm giving an insight into some lifestyle things that people can take and apply that to themselves.
Very nice. Certainly some exciting things to look forward to.
You know it.
Yeah, absolutely. How can your fans reach you? Where can they find you on the web, social media, your official content, all that kind of stuff, all the important links and information on where the listeners can check you out?
All right, yes. Twitter, it's Darren Myers 92. So that's the only thing. I wanted to update it, but I had so many things like watermarked with it, and I was like, crap, I just got to stick with it. So that's Darren Myers 92. That's Twitter. I'm on Pornhub. It's Darren Blaze. Mini vids when you search Darren Blaze. Reddit, it's Darren_Blaze. Those are my primary platforms. So, and also, you know, to simplify things, that's Linktree, Darren Blaze. So if you just type in Linktree/Darren Blaze, you'll get all my platforms in that one space.
Well, this does bring us to the end of our interview. Is there anything that you would like to say to your fans and supporters that are tuning in?
Now, I just want to say I appreciate the support. It doesn't go unnoticed. stay tuned. I mean, I have so much content in the vault. I'm constantly listening to my supporters about what you want. So, you know, I'll never leave you hanging, let me dry without content. And I want to give a shout out to you, Poppy Chilo. So listeners, keep listening. This is a stand-up guy, and he's going to keep bringing you some great stuff. So I wanted to pay homage.
I appreciate you for the love. The feeling is mutual. I'm super excited to see where your star goes from here. You know, it's been rising and shining brighter and brighter, and I know it's going to keep on rising because you do incredible work, my friend. So I definitely want to thank you so much for coming on and being interviewed.
It was an honor.
I appreciate that. And listen, the door is open for more. Whenever you want to come back to update the listeners on what you've been up to and what you've gotten yourself into and what the latest hotness that you're dropping, you have an open invitation.
Hey, I appreciate that. I'll definitely count on that.
I love the sound of that. And listeners, I also want to thank you for tuning into One-on-One with Poppy Chulo. Before we go, here's our announcer to remind you on how you can interact with us.
Thank you for downloading One-on-One with Poppy Chulo. Here are a few helpful reminders. For more information on One-on-One with Poppy Chulo, visit poppychuloradio.com/afterdark. Follow Poppy Chulo on Twitter at twitter.com/poppychulo1on1. That's at Poppy Chulo. The number one. The word on. And the number one. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/poppychuloradio. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/poppychuloradio. Do you have any questions, suggestions, comments, or concerns? Email us via contact@poppychuloradio.com. Are you interested in joining the Poppy Chulo Radio team as an on-air personality? Email talent@poppychuloradio.com. Binge listen to your favorite Poppy Chulo Radio programs by visiting poppychuloradio.com/archives. Back to you, Poppy Chulo.
Thanks, announcer. And with that, Darren Blaze and I would like to wish you and yours a wonderful night. Good night, listeners.
Good night.
Let's go.
Thanks for listening to One-on-One with Poppy Chulo. To contact us with any of your questions, suggestions, comments, or concerns, email us at contact@poppychuloradio.com. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter by going to twitter.com/poppychuloradio. And like us on Facebook by visiting facebook.com/poppychuloradio. Be sure to listen again next week as we continue to showcase exclusive interviews with some of the adult industry's most popular male performers. This is Ben Patrick Johnson saying good night and have a wonderful week.